Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we hear from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking towards South Africa and tasking our panel with gauging the impact, political and economic, of the recent leadership transition. We'll ask how the Zuma exit and Ramaphosa arrival have shaped the story in terms of growth, reform and investor sentiment. And we'll look to the future too, to consider the challenges ahead and the changes that foreign investors in particular will want and need to see to increase their exposure to the South African market. We start with Michael Bolliger, who heads the Emerging Market Asset Allocation Team at the UBS CIO. Michael, the end of the Zuma regime was a relatively recent development, but it was a long time coming. What difference has it made so far?
The bottom line here is that, you know, both domestically in South Africa and also internationally, this has helped to significantly improve the, you know, the outlook and the expectations for the longer-term growth potential of the country, which has been very low, for important structural reforms, including addressing some of the issues on some of the state-owned entities. You know, it has boosted business sentiment already now. We see that from leading indicators that we follow. And last, but by no means least, it has helped also to trigger a significant rally in South African assets. First and foremost, the rand, but also local interest rates have come down. And that itself, of course, is providing a positive feedback loop, again, for the economic outlook.
Themis Themistocleous is head of the European Investment Office at UBS Wealth Management. From your position in London, Themis, what's happened? The departure of Zuma was this long, drawn-out process. What have you made of it from your vantage point?
Well, a lot has happened, and hopefully a lot more will happen. You talked about this long period of time. It's not unusual. We've seen it in Brazil as well. It was quite a prolonged period of time until the change did happen. Obviously, Ramaphosa was elected as the new president, and since then he made a number of appointments in the cabinet. A number of them are business-friendly. He looked at Eskom, one of the big local government control enterprises in terms of corporate governance. He made some changes there. And hopefully, we got to see a lot more change as time goes on. By the way, on the economy side, of course, these changes are not going to have an impact on the economy straight away. The market reacted to it because the market clearly is expecting that these reforms and reforms that still to come down the line is going to result in much better structural economic growth. And the market assets have reacted to that. We've seen the rand strengthening. We've seen equities rallying. So there's some anticipation of what will come down the line.
Alex Matthews is Monocle's correspondent in Johannesburg. Alex, I guess it's instructive to remind ourselves that we're still very much in the period of transition and adjustment. What do we need to keep an eye on and what drives that process on from here?
It's an interesting and complicated time. I think Ramaphosa definitely seems very genuine in his attempts to clamp down on corruption. And there's a phrase that entered the South African vernacular, state capture, which Jacob Zuma became a master of. Essentially, it was using state resources and people in position of power to benefit his family and his family's associates. So Ramaphosa has promised to clamp down on that. And already you've started to see changes in terms of the makeup of the board of the state-owned enterprises. What's also important to bear in mind, though, is that Ramaphosa had a fiercely contested race to become the president of the ANC in December. And so he had to make certain compromises. There's certain people in his final team that are kind of compromised individuals with shady pasts. So he's had to do a bit of a balancing act, and the reforms might not be as sweeping as they need to be. So only time will tell.
I'd like to bring in another voice familiar to Monocle 24 listeners, Jason Robinson, analyst at Oxford Analytica and a specialist in South Africa. Jason, if I can start by asking you, this was a rather drawn out process, the demise of Zuma, and we're obviously now in the kind of aftermath. And we've seen some obvious kind of early positive, I guess, consequences of that political transition. Would you go along with that characterization? I mean, what do you think that the change has meant, albeit in the very short term so far?
We've had a lot of positive interventions. You might have seen just prior to the weekend that Moody's didn't downgrade South Africa, which was a big worry over the past few months, and essentially gave a thumbs up to what new President Cyril Ramaphosa has done, particularly in putting new ministers in key posts, notably finance, public enterprises, mineral resources, and also overhauling the leadership of the South African Revenue Service. So a lot of these have stabilized the economic situation, improved the investment climate and business confidence. But I suppose the big issue now is whether Ramaphosa can maintain that, that we don't just see a stabilization of governance, that we actually see a major improvement. Because essentially, for the kind of economic growth that's necessary, we need things to get a lot better much more quickly.
Michael Bolliger, back to you. What's going to help to consolidate the progress we've already seen? Is it about budgets? Is it about better governance? Good personnel appointments? I guess whichever, this is still very much an ongoing process.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's an ongoing process. That's the first observation. The second observation can be it's a bit as if you walk up on one of our beautiful Swiss mountains, that as higher up you get, the more difficult it gets to, you know, advance another 100 to 300 meters. And with Cyril Ramaphosa and his team, it's a similar situation. They were very swift in, you know, triggering change, in making announcements, and they have done all the right things so far, and they've done more and faster than most of us expected. But from here going forward, it's going to be super critical for them to somehow try to maintain that momentum. You mentioned the budget. That's an important thing. You know, you keep in mind that unemployment is north of 25% in South Africa. It's a big concern to the local population. There's a high youth unemployment as well. There's still, you know, despite the improvement, comparatively low growth. And so they will have to, you know, struggle with implementing these reforms and at the same time making sure that also the local population gets enough of sort of tailwinds from that process. Also keep in mind that there is a general election scheduled for 2019, and that obviously makes things even a bit more complicated.
Jason Robinson, if I can ask you that same question, how to best consolidate the process of political transition that we've seen? What does Ramaphosa focus on? A cleanup of state-owned enterprise, perhaps? A broader audit? I guess all of these things are rather complex.
Moody's essentially stated the other day that broader reforms will be necessary before it would be able to revise projections upwards and improve the ratings. But aside from that, bringing stabilization back to the National Treasury and other key institutions, that's great and that's necessary. But long-term issues are the huge unemployment rate, particularly among the youth, and the fact that for Ramaphosa and some of the ambitious plans he and the ANC have, they need to cut into those figures. You have a whole mass of people who just aren't able to find work and potentially will never be able to find work. And that's a big, big issue going forward. It's been there for years, but it's kind of reaching a crisis point now.
Let's look at the backdrop and this idea of how long it takes to see a real economic change resulting from political transition. There was already a slightly more optimistic view, Themis Themistocleus, in terms of GDP growth surprising to the upside, although the growth rate does remain pretty low. But we do need to be aware of that background, don't we, Themis?
I think the fourth quarter is the you're referring to, which surprised positively, came out about 1.5% year on year. Some of that, there were some technical adjustments the way they measure GDP, so you can strip that out, but still underlying growth did surprise a bit on the upside. And of course, that's a quite an important point because no country operates in isolation. They are part of the global family. And if the global economy is accelerating, irrespective of what's happening in this specific country, that definitely has a positive impact on the economy. So we cannot ignore what's happening in the global economy. But as you correctly said, that economic growth is still pretty muted and far from what South Africa can do, especially with the right reforms.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the investment view, particularly from overseas, and ask, what do investors hope and need to see to further increase their exposure to this interesting market? Back to Monocle's man in Johannesburg now, Alex Matthews. Alex, There was a perhaps understandable reluctance to hold extensive equity exposure, particularly towards the end of the Zuma administration. What do you think's needed to continue the immediate uptick in foreign investment which followed the change of president?
Certainly there has. You've seen the strengthening of the rand since Ramaphosa became first ANC president and then president of the country. So there is certainly sentiment is on the up. But whether or not it will be enough to ensure large-scale investment, time will tell. I think Ramaphosa is going to have to pull quite a few rabbits out of the proverbial hat to attract large-scale investment. And I think also in terms of key sectors, when you look at mining, there's a lot of uncertainty around regulations and ownership. And until those sorts of issues are resolved, South Africa is going to continue to lose relevance as a mining investment destination. But if that does get, apparently negotiations are underway, if there is some certainty and the outcomes of those negotiations result in an improved mining investment climate, then you potentially will see big players becoming more interested than they have been during the Zuma years.
A rabbit out of the hat. What does Michael Bolliger make of that notion? Michael, it's almost a magic trick what's needed. What do overseas investors need to see in your view?
It's important to note that obviously things have become more expensive after this first wave of euphoria. And from here, we have the view that local assets will remain supported by those fundamental improvements that we see from reforms, but also obviously from accelerating growth in South Africa, and then still a relatively supportive environment globally. So that's, we believe, quite a fruitful, positive combination of things. Now, where do we see the biggest opportunities? The rand is one area where we have an overweight position in our dedicated emerging market portfolios. We see it trending toward 11.0 against the US dollar. That's quite a bit of upside still. Plus, the rand also pays you a relatively high interest rate carry, so that makes it interesting for us. Second, we like the equity market on an overall index level. Again, equities are the key growth assets that should benefit from a pickup in business activity that we expect for this year, and they should also maybe get further support from ongoing positive news flow, sentiment improvements, etc. And then selectively, here and there, we also buy into dollar-denominated bonds. We like several issuers there to add a bit of risk to our dedicated emerging market bond portfolio.
Finally on the programme, what about a quick sense of the risks that remain and indeed how best to navigate them? How would you grade the risks, Michael Bolliger, if we look to this market?
First of all, that, you know, valuation, as I explained just before, are clearly not an argument on a standalone basis to invest in South Africa. And that means also that whenever you see setbacks here and there, that will happen almost certainly, that people will see this as a reason to take profit. And that can then amplify the corrections, that can then amplify the sell-off a bit. And then, you know, we have to look at a range of risks, both domestically and internationally. Domestically, the elections that are scheduled for next year are important, and that can mean setbacks to the reform process. Internationally, there's a risk of rising or faster than expected increase in, say, global interest rates in the U.S., elsewhere. South Africa still runs a twin deficit, i.e. a fiscal deficit and a current account deficit, so that could be a headwind or could become a headwind for the rand. There is obviously a bit of concern about the risk of an escalation in trade tensions between the U.S. and probably the rest of the world that could again fire back on South Africa. And then maybe more broadly speaking, geopolitical tensions that we can never fully rule out. But as I said, these are risks. They're worth keeping in mind. But in a base case, we would see things developing nicely in South Africa.
And let's close the programme with a final note on South African assets, if we may. From you, Themistocleus.
We're actually quite positive on South African assets. We're positive on the rand. We're positive on equities. And we do like some of the areas within credit. You still get quite a good carry on the rand and some of the bonds. And I think the market tends to underestimate the potential change and impact on the economy longer term.
And that's Themis Themistocleus bringing us to the end of this 182nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.